Dr. Jerry, you got the whole world waiting. Been ready for you to start the conversation. Your point of view, it got the haters confused. Leave it up to you to bring us all the good news. Positive vibes and the sex appeal too. Dr. Andre Jerry, can I get an interview?
Hello and welcome to another episode of Live with Dr. Andre Jerry, your weekly destination for bold conversations, unfiltered truth, and practical inspiration to help you unlock your best life. I'm your host, Dr. Andre Jerry, broadcasting live from San Juan, Puerto Rico. Tonight's show is proudly sponsored by Amazon Autos. Yes, you heard that right. Amazon has officially entered the car game. Now you can browse, compare, and buy your next ride online from trusted dealers right from the comfort of your home. Convenience just got a major upgrade courtesy of Amazon Autos. Okay, so this week's show is part five of our popular Random Rants and Real Talk series, where we touch on a little bit of everything from pop culture to trending topics and news, how to unlock your best life, which is the title of one of my books I released earlier this year that's available on Amazon. And sometimes I talk about what's going on in my personal life as well. And, you know, we all have our experiences or challenges that we've overcome or are currently working to overcome. And if we be open and honest about those, it could benefit a lot of people. And, you know, oftentimes just hearing a little bit about what someone else is going through can help the next person to work through something similar that may be going on in their life, you know, or at the very least help them to feel less alone. So that's what this show is all about. I'm sharing information that will in some small or large way change your perspective or your thought process or give you insights that will hopefully change your life for the better. It's about sharing. This is a sharing economy. That's how we all get ahead. You're sharing a little bit of your time with me this evening, and in turn, I'm sharing information with you that I believe will be of value to you. And of course, if you feel like it is, then share this show with someone, like, share, subscribe, leave a comment, all those things. You know, I used to do this a lot anyway, but especially so since I've become a full-time content creator. I always make a point to support other content creators. Doesn't matter if it's a podcast, a radio show, YouTube, TikTok, LinkedIn. I make it a point to engage with other people's content. Not just any content, of course. It has to be content that's meaningful and that, of course, adds value, whether it made me laugh a little bit or cry or inspired me in some way or just give me a lift or some form of encouragement. I make sure that I engage with that type of content because if you think about it, someone put their time and their energy into creating that post, creating that video or that skit that was comedic. And a lot of times people may watch it back, you know, 2-3 times and not even like it. And I feel like if you're going to watch it multiple times like that, at least hit the like button or forward it to somebody. Show some type of appreciation for content creators because no one's really watching TV that much anymore. You know, pretty much all the content is now created by people just like you and me. So, you know, the content creators need to show them some love because one day you're going to be a content creator and you're going to understand and appreciate a lot more everything that goes into consistently creating content and how likes and shares and subs are like currency for us. You know, not to mention it gives you a boost. It gives you some encouragement and validation, which in turn keeps you going. So remember that next time you come across content that adds value to your life, okay? All right, so in keeping with the theme of this week's show, and I know this is random, but I want to tell you about a dream that I had last night. I used to not be this way, but I take my dreams very seriously now because I believe that every dream that we have contains messages and valuable insights from the spiritual realm. Yes, I believe when we fall asleep that our consciousness goes someplace else. I believe we astral project to other dimensions. And, you know, I believe we have interdimensional communications. And I'm not forcing you to believe that, of course. That's just what I believe. You know, so whenever I wake up from a dream, I either take out my pad and pen, which is usually right by my bed, and write down as many details as I can remember, or I just type them in the notes app on my phone. Because I don't know what it is about dreams, but for the most part, and not all dreams, of course, but for me, the details seem to fade very quickly after I wake up. You know, it's not like a regular conversation or a regular happenstance where you can easily recall the details. Dream details are very different. They're very fleeting. And so you have to jot down as many of those details as you can remember as quickly as you can while you still have them. Because I found that really about 10 minutes after waking up, it's gone. You can't recall the dream. You don't have enough details of that dream to really piece anything significant together. So you got to act fast. But once I have everything jotted down, and this was before ChatGPT, which ChatGPT is different, but before this, I would Google just to find out what the symbolism for the dream was, because everything in a dream symbolizes something. So if it's a person, it doesn't matter, an object, like it could be your job, a house, whatever your state of being in the dream was, the person you dreamed about, whether they're living or past, all those aspects mean something. So what I would do is Google certain aspects of my dream. I would Google something like dreams about my mother laughing, or dreams about my aunt and a green snake climbing up a tree. You know, something like that, that type of prompt. And Google would pull up these sites, and you have to be a little careful with some of these sites too, but Google would pull up sites that had information on certain images and what they symbolize. And that's how I learned, at least at a cursory level, how to interpret dreams and things of that nature. Because, of course, every dream is different, but there is symbolism that's going to be universal. So, like, if you're dreaming about your mother and your mother is still living, that's going to symbolize nurturing and protection, intuition. And if you see your mother in your dream, that can symbolize something like a need for comfort or reassurance or some type of inner conflict with how you're handling something in your life that's going on currently. Or it could be, you know, like an unresolved dynamic between you and your mother. If you dream about your mother and she's passed already, then that's going to symbolize memory and a spiritual connection. And it's almost like spiritual guidance, like your mother visiting you from another realm. And that type of dream, it can be like a need of support or validation in your life, or just needing to feel her presence during a major life change or transition or something you have going on, at missing that maternal aspect being there. So that's just a little of the symbolism that I learned about dreams using Google. But like I said, now with ChatGPT, all you have to do is type in the details of the dream and tell ChatGPT to interpret the dream for you. So it's a lot easier. It's super easy. But I want to tell you about this dream that I had, and then I'll share with you the interpretation that I got from ChatGPT. Okay, so here's the dream. I started a new job, which is weird because I'm retired. But anyway, I started a new job, and I was excited. I had all this fresh energy. You know, I was excited, ready to go. But almost from day one, I could feel this shade from the people who I was working with and the person who was, you know, in charge of training me. There was this little clique of guys. It was about three or four of them. And I could just tell that they weren't feeling me. They weren't feeling me at all. The ringleader of this clique was the one who was in charge of training me, right? And I could just tell that he was setting me up to fail. You know, he'd smile and, you know, be fake and all of that, but I noticed he would deliberately leave out key aspects of the functions of my job that I needed to do, just as a way of throwing me off and making sure that I'm not you know, successful. Just classic microaggressions type stuff, like a quiet sabotage. But here's the thing, none of it worked. I always pick up very quickly. It was the same in this dream. And the women at the job, though, all the women at the job liked me a lot. And they could see right through this BS from the guy that was training me. They saw where he was, you know, leaving stuff out, and just they saw what he was doing. So they kind of pulled me aside, and they made sure I had everything that I needed. And this one lady who was like the, she was like a big boss director or something like that. But in the dream, it was Angela Oakley from Real Housewives of Atlanta. I know, but that's who it was in the dream. But she wasn't the housewife, Angela Oakley. She was like a boss lady, you know. Not to say that she's not that in her real life, but you get what I mean. She was playing a different role, but that's the character that I saw in my dream. She was confident. She was classy. She was a little cutthroat, but it was in a good way. She clocked all that shade that was going on, and she was like, nah, we're not going to do that. Let me bring you over here where I'm at. And so she pulled me out of that toxic training environment, and she brought me into her department, okay? And when I got to her department, everything was completely different. It was a different vibe. It was more elegant and more top level, high level, totally different vibe, right? So she started mentoring me directly, and she started inviting me to these after-hour projects. And that's sort of where the real work happened. You know, it was a lot of late nights, but there were less people in the office, and there was more exclusive access to things and different projects that the general population weren't privy to. And so I started to see how the company really worked behind the scenes. And so one night, Angela calls me into her office. Okay, so in her office, she has this entire one side that's sort of like a lounge area with a big elegant lounge chair with the big furry pillows. She has a bar fully stocked. It's just very chill, very nice. So I walk in, and she is completely naked and laid up with a C-level executive that, you know, I was familiar with. And I could just tell that they were in post-sexual bliss, right? And I was caught off guard when I saw it, but I played it cool. I didn't stare. I didn't really react, because I could sort of discern that this was intentional on her part. You know, it was kind of a test. I just gave her this nod and grabbed what I needed, and I dipped out of there. And, you know, she had a little smirk on her face, and that smirk said it all. That smirk was like, you pass. The next day when I came into the office, I had a completely different office. She upgraded my office. She gave me a new title, made it all official. I earned my place next to her, sort of as her deputy or what have you. And so just like that, I was elevated to director of whatever, you know, just that quickly. So that was the dream, all right? And now I'm going to give you the interpretation that ChatGPT gave me. And I've been doing dream interpretations for so long, I already knew some of this, but I'm going to just sort of read verbatim what ChatGPT said about this dream. They gave five core themes and symbols based on, you know, everything that I just told you, which I typed into the chat. It said, number one, that new job equaled a new spiritual assignment or a new season in your life. That's what the new job represented. It said, starting a new job often represents stepping into a new phase of life or calling or responsibility, particularly one that challenges your self-worth, discernment, and ability to navigate adversity with integrity. The number two thing, it said, the male clique, that represented institutionalized gatekeeping and undermining spirits. We all know those undermining spirits on the job. It said, this group represents resistance you face from the status quo, male-dominated, competitive, hierarchical systems that thrive on exclusion and control. It says that these men are symbolic of workplace sabotage, covert jealousy, spirit of intimidation, mass mentorship, stuff we've all had to deal with in our careers. And it says they also signify external projections of your own past experiences, perhaps a subconscious echo of real life environments where your excellence was perceived as a threat. Okay. Number three, Angela Oakley. It said that she represented the divine feminine elevated intuition or a secret ally. And it says, though she's depicted as a real housewife, Angela is the archetype of the mentor with the hidden power, a feminine force who sees your potential, protects your path, and ushers you into inner sanctum. She also represents divine timing, female empowerment in male-dominated spaces, and a version of yourself that's politically astute, unbothered by perceptions, and knows how to play the long game. Number four, remember there are just five. Number four, it says the after-hours encounter equals or represents spiritual testing ground and rite of passage. Witnessing Angela's vulnerable moment wasn't about sex. It was about secrecy, power, and discretion. This was your test of spiritual maturity. Would you judge or understand? Emotional control. Would you be rattled or remain unshaken? And strategic discernment. Could you keep your mouth closed even when you knew too much? Your response, a nod and smirk, indicated that you're ready to lead without scandal, observe without reacting, and operate with poise in complex environments. And then the last point it made was the promotion. The promotion that came afterwards equals cosmic validation and favor. It says Angela's act of elevating your role the next day affirms this dream is about divine positioning. You're being shown what happens when you pass hidden tests, when you keep integrity amid chaos, and you don't let distractions derail your purpose. Okay, so that's the feedback that I got from ChatGPT. And as you can see, they're very robust. Gives a very robust interpretation of the dream, especially if you give it the right prompts. So I want you to try this out next time you have a dream. And let me know, send me a message or an email and let me know if this works the same for you. But it's a very useful tool for a lot of things. I don't think dream interpretation is something that we often think ChatGPT would be good for, but did an excellent job on my dream interpretation. But yeah, this dream was very reminiscent of some real encounters that, you know, in situations that I've experienced early in my career. Maybe not as risque as the dream that I had last night, but definitely scandalous. You know, I've worked across multiple sectors, from the federal government and industry, politics at the local, state, and the congressional level. And I've served as a diplomat, as you know, in foreign military sales. So I've had a front row seat to some of the inner workings of powerful governments and corporations. And trust me, most people would be shocked at the type of stuff that really goes on behind the veil. You know, maybe one day I'll write a book with some fictionalized stories or some things that I've encountered over the years. But what I can share with you today is, you know, at many of these corporations, and this happens in the public sector as well, in a lot of these corporations, especially early in your career, they will try you. They will try you. And what I mean by that is this. If you're someone that they're particularly interested in terms of being someone that they feel would be a good fit in a leadership role, or someone that they internally selected to ascend the ranks, or even if you're just someone that they notice who is ambitious and on an upward trajectory, oftentimes what they'll do, they'll try you and they'll make a determination as to whether you are someone that's going to be trustworthy or have the company's best interest in mind, or someone that's going to act in the best interest of the company. You know, I'll give you an example. Pretty much every company has these mandatory trainings, you know, but a lot of times there's training or courses in addition to that, that focuses on these particular topics. Stuff like workplace harassment. What's another one? Fraud, waste, and abuse. That's a really big one. Sometimes they'll have, you know, courses on see something, say something, things like that. There have been, on occasion, instances where shortly after an intern or a new hire or a recently promoted employee, they'll be placed in this situation where they observe, witness, or otherwise be exposed to some questionable behavior by a colleague. It's usually either a lead or a supervisor, but sometimes it's just a coworker. But oftentimes these situations are manufactured. They're manufactured and they're intended to be tests. And not so much to gauge your integrity or your honesty, like one would think, you know, but it's to determine if you're someone who can be trusted to keep their mouth shut. You know, they're not going to let you, quote unquote, in the club if you are a snitch. That's just point blank, period. When you start getting into middle management and leadership, that's a really tight-knit group. The people at that level, they want people that they can trust. They want people that they can work with. They're not interested in working alongside, you know, stuffy, goody-two-shoes, Karen types, you know, the type of people that's going to be reporting every damn thing. And they don't respect that type of stuff. They respect people who see something, don't say anything, right? People who are just like, look, that shit don't have nothing to do with me. You know, I'm just going to turn a blind eye to it and just let it be business as usual. You know, or as my mom would say, did the check clear? That's what she did my check clear? Okay, thank you. That's all I'm worried about. So what I'm saying is that, you know, especially to these young folks just starting out in their careers, if you want to be upwardly mobile and you want to ascend the ranks and get promoted faster than your peers, you're going to have to know your job. I didn't say be the best at your job. That's a myth. I said know your job. Because there were a lot of my colleagues who were much better logisticians than me, but I surpassed them all. So know your job, and most importantly, have discretion. Knowing your job and having discretion, those two things alone will get you further than aptitude will, right? So just like in that dream that I had, Angela Oakley, she intended for me to see her in a compromised position, literally, you know, sexual position, but because she had plans for me, but she wanted to first gauge my level of discretion. So even in the dream, I didn't gasp when I saw her. I didn't, you know, get all flustered and run out of the office apologizing for what I saw. I didn't do none of that. I kept my composure. I didn't react. I followed through with the task at hand, got whatever paperwork I needed. And, you know, and aside from the wink and nod that I gave her, I didn't acknowledge what I saw. We didn't talk about it. You know, at the end of the day, that wasn't any of my business, you know. So I know that's a bit extreme and pornographic, but it really is a fairly accurate example of the types of encounters one might have as they ascend the ranks in certain corporate cultures. I mean, I could really tell you some stories, you know, and I can only imagine, had I not retired early, some of the craziness I probably would have seen in D.C., at the Pentagon level, which would have likely been my next assignment after Wright Pat. But I made the right decision. It was time for me to pivot and to step fully in my purpose and, you know, live where I want to live and pursue my passion and my purpose, help other people achieve their goals and find their purpose and unlock their best life. So, you know, I made the right move, you know. So now I can focus on helping others make the right move for their lives. So I'm happy about the move that I made. Okay, so, all right, we're going to take a quick commercial break right here, and we're going to hear from our sponsor for tonight's show. And when we come back, we're going to have a lot more random rants and real talk to dive into. So stick around. You're listening to Live with Dr. Andre Jerry. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Looking for your next car? Amazon Autos has you covered. With just a few clicks, you can shop a wide selection of new vehicles, compare prices, read reviews, and even arrange pickup or delivery, just like ordering anything else on Amazon. It's the future of car buying, simple, transparent, and all online. Backed by Amazon's trusted network and partnering with local dealerships, Amazon Autos is redefining how we shop for cars. Visit amazon.com/autos and drive into the future today.
Hi, I'm James Baller of Artist First Radio, and I would like to tell you about a fascinating new book from Crime Beat's Ron Chepsik and co-author Mike Rowe. It's titled Robin Hood of the Hood, The Life and Times of Teddy Rowe, Policy Kingpin, and it's published by Strategic Media Books. The book is a historical account of Theodore Teddy Rowe, who courageously fought the Chicago Mafia, more commonly known as the Outfit, for control of the lucrative policy racket in the Windy City. Policy, often called the numbers, is a form of illegal gambling or illegal lottery, played mostly in poor and working-class neighborhoods in the United States. In policy, a bettor attempts to pick three digits to match those that will be randomly drawn the following day. For decades, policy had been a staple in the black community, but when the white mob flexed its power in the late 1940s, many policy kings knuckled under the pressure. Not Teddy Rowe. Rowe famously told mob bosses that he'd rather die than give up control of his operation. Robin Hood of the Hood chronicles an exciting chapter of Chicago history. Go to the Kindle store at Amazon and buy it for just $2.99. For information about this book and other titles, please go to strategicmediabooks.com. That's strategicmediabooks.com.
You're back live with Dr. Andre Jerry.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Live with Dr. Andre Jerry. Hey, if you're just tuning in, tonight is part five of our increasingly popular Random Rants and Real Talk series. And before the break, I shared a powerful dream that I had last night, and along with its interpretation from ChatGPT. So I also talked about the lessons from that dream and how we can apply it to real life, especially in corporate spaces where things like gatekeeping and sabotage and silent tests are all too common. But I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about health and wellness for a moment. Now, of course, I'm not a licensed medical practitioner. Always consult your doctor or your medical providers for any type of professional advice, okay? I'm just going to tell you about some things that I've been doing and incorporating into my regimen, and maybe it's something you want to think about and talk to your doctor about, okay? If you follow me on YouTube and TikTok, you know that daily meditation is part of my self-care and wellness routine. Really, it has been for years, since back when I was first deployed to Saudi Arabia. This was not too long after I lost my mom and my aunt, like within a month of each other, back in 2020. That was a really difficult period of my life. And, you know, I just needed something to help keep me grounded and centered, and something just to help me work through the grieving process and some of the other things that I was going through. And it helped a lot. But I'll be honest with you, I wasn't really consistent with it the way that I am now. Since moving back to San Juan, I've been meditating consistently once, sometimes twice a day. And I've noticed a difference in my mood and my mental clarity and just my overall peace of mind. And I started to post some, not all of them, but some of my meditation sessions. And I did that to encourage others to think about adopting this practice. And I also wanted people to see that there's really not that much to it, other than finding a quiet spot in your house or your office A lot of people meditate in their car. Wherever you can be alone for at least a minimum of 5 minutes. You know, you can sit in silence, or you can go to YouTube and find chakra bowls or meditation music, ocean waves. A lot of people use waterfalls and, you know, all types of things. Whatever sound is going to promote calmness and peace for you. And it just allow yourself to be still for a few moments and quiet your thoughts, you know. And like anything else, it's going to take practice, but you'll get better and better each time. And really, it won't be long before you have the hang of it. Maybe you'll extend your sessions from 5 minutes to 10 and then 20, even 30 minutes. My longest session was about 45 minutes. And, you know, afterwards you just feel great and more calm and more at peace. Now, I haven't, in full disclosure, I haven't meditated today. So what I'll probably do is have a 20 or 30 minute session right before bed. And I'll probably use a guided meditation for that just so it can just ease me right on into sleep. But the key is just be flexible. Be flexible. Don't beat yourself up if you miss a day or miss a regular time like I did today. Just get in it when you can. You know, get it when you can. But I definitely encourage you to start the practice of meditating and make it a habit. It only takes 20 or 21 days to form a new habit. And if you're trying to stop something like drinking or smoking or I'm trying not to be crass, masturbating or something like that, all types of bad habits. People get so caught up in not doing a thing. Really, the easiest thing to do is to replace the bad habit with another good habit. So every time you have the urge to drink or the urge to masturbate or the urge to whatever, just do your new habit and let that be the replacement. It just makes it easier. It took me years and years to figure that out, but just sharing that with you. Okay. Keeping on the topic of health and wellness, I want to talk about intermittent fasting. I'm all about incorporating practices in my lifestyle that aid in a better and, you know, more improved life. For me, intermittent fasting has really been a great addition. For anyone that's not familiar with what intermittent fasting is, it's just simply a period of time that you set for yourself where you abstain from eating. We basically do it every day. We do it every night when we go to sleep. That's why the first meal of the day is called break fast. Okay. Most people who intermittent fast, they have a schedule where they only eat during certain hours. For me, I don't eat anything after 8 p.m. And I wait a minimum of 12 hours in between my last meal of the day and my first meal of the day. So if I have dinner or have my last meal at 7:30 at night, the earliest I can eat is the next day at 7:30 a.m. You know, I like to give my body at least 12 hours where it doesn't have to utilize or expend any energy digesting food. So that's just an example of intermittent fasting. Lately, I've switched it up a bit and I've changed to more of an alternate day fasting schedule. And I like this a little better, and I'm going to explain what that is and why I prefer this approach. So alternative day fasting is basically where you alternate between the days where you eat and the days where you have a low or no calorie intake. And this is something my friend Craig put me on to recently. So what I do, I alternate between days where I eat regularly and the days where I eat, I only consume, or the days where I don't take in any caloric or low calories, I just consume fruit. So like today, I'm only eating fruit, having water, and you can drink black coffee or tea if coffee is not your thing. So this is my low calorie day. So like I said, just only eating fruit, water, black tea. Tomorrow, I'll go back to a regular eating schedule. For me, I like this better because I'm eating less, but I'm still getting, you know, a nutrient-rich diet with a lot more fiber, a lot more minerals. So it feels more balanced to me, and it's helping me to stave off illnesses and sickness and colds and things like that. And I also, what I like about this is I noticed that I drink a lot more water using this method. Because, like, right now I'm getting, you know, feeling a little bit of hunger pains. I just drink a big glass of water or something like that, and it just, it kind of fills you up and can get you through those last hours, you know, because once I go to bed, that's it. You know, you don't think about food so much. So, yeah, for me, this works. By all means, like I said, consult with your physician or your medical health practitioner before you adopt any type of new regimen like this, like an alternate day fasting or intermittent fasting or any type of fasting, because it can have complications if you're on medications or you have other health issues and stuff like that. So don't take my advice, you know, call your doctor. You know, I'm not licensed like that to give health advice. I'm just telling you what works for me. Okay, so in addition to the meditation and the fasting, I've also incorporated stretching and cardio back into my routine. I don't do it every day, but at least 3-4 times a week for sure. The stretching is very easy to incorporate with my meditation. You'll see that on some of my videos. I'll do some light stretching after my meditation, and then after that, I just go into the full-blown 20-minute session of stretching. And again, you're going to feel great after 20 minutes of stretching, making sure your neck and your back are loose, all that type of stuff. So I've been slowly incorporating additional things into my routine and not trying to pile a bunch of stuff on, you know, just enough to keep my body toned and tight, especially the core area, which is traditionally a lot harder to keep together once you get past 40. You know, so planks are really good. I do different variations of planks to keep my core solid and, you know, not too loose. I've incorporated jump roping into my exercise regimen. Jump roping is really good cardio. Like if you're not really into the running and walking so much, jump roping is excellent cardio exercise. Just put you on a couple of songs that last maybe 3, 4, 5 minutes each. Jump rope to about 3 songs, you know, that's a good 10-minute, 12-minute workout. You'll feel a lot better afterwards. Sometimes I get small weights, like 5-pound weights, and I just dance to a couple of songs with it. And stuff like that is good cardio. Anything but the gym. I'll be honest with you, I can't stand the gym. I can't stand it. I get too distracted. I always end up comparing my body to the other guys, and I end up getting discouraged or feel like my workout ain't hitting on shit. Look at this guy, you know. Or I'll see a guy that's super cute or has a nice ass, and I'm trying to peek them out without getting caught. I'm just being honest with you. You know, the gym is just too much for me, you know. Not to mention I'm very frugal, okay. I was going to say a cheap MF, but, you know, I'm trying to word it a little differently. I'm very frugal, you know, so I'm not really excited to pay a membership fee every month to a place that I'm going to go to infrequently, you know. I'm not going to go every day. And plus, the gym is just a place that brings out all of my insecurities, and it just makes me feel like shit, especially when you see a woman that has more muscles than you, and it's just like, why are you here? Just go home. Nothing you're going to do here matters. just go home. So I don't like the gym. I don't at all. I much prefer a home workout, you know, something I can do in the privacy of my own home and not feel like an out-of-shape freak or get distracted by other bodies and all of that, you know. Plus, I don't like when there's like too many people in the gym. That makes me freak out. I don't do very well in crowded environments. That's not my thing. I'm very introverted. I get my energy from being in silent spaces and in small groups. You know, it's one thing if I got to brave a crowd for work or, you know, give a talk or a speech or something like that. That's different. But just to recreationally expose myself to a crowded gym, no. I'm not paying for that. If someone want to gift me a membership or a free membership or something like that, then okay, sure, I'll go. But I'm not going to pay to feel like shit. I'm just not. So no thank you to the gym. See, so I ranted enough about that. Well, let's see, what else here? Something else before we wrap up tonight's episode. Some of you have sent a couple of messages asking for an update on my friendship with Craig. Now, one of the previous episodes, I talked about friendships, and I went on a whole rant about that because I'm at this space in my life where I can't deal with any type of toxic friendships or half-assed friendships or one-sided friendships. And I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be the person who's calling all the time, texting all the time, the one reaching out all the time. All that stuff is whack to me. I don't like it. It's stupid. At 40-something, almost 50 years old, who needs friendships like that, okay? That wasn't so much the case with Craig. Craig and I had some different stuff going on. His girlfriend and I just don't jive. We got along great at first, and my mom loved her. She was like best friends with my mom. And my mom didn't make friends really quickly with other women. She was more of a guy's gal. But she just loved Craig's girlfriend. You know, they would go on little trips and hang out on the weekends and everything. And for a while, we got along great as well. But it just took a turn somewhere. And I think it was when I temporarily moved in, you know, I would have these long stretches from where I came back from Saudi Arabia or whatever country I was in at the time. And so instead of getting a hotel and, you know, because I had a tenant in my home, Craig would open up his Airbnb to me. And so I would be there during my breaks when I came back to the States for, you know, 2 weeks, sometimes a month at a time. And it was during one of those stints where, you know, issues just started to spring up. And traditionally, Craig and I have always been like bosom buddies, like really close, always doing things. And so we were watching, you know, Netflix and different movies and stuff together, hanging out. And it seemed like he enjoyed spending more time with me than with her. So she made this, this is how it all started. And I'm not going to spend too much time on this. But it all started with her making this one little comment. Craig and I were on the couch watching something. And Craig was like, hey, babe, come in here and watch this show with us, with me and Andre. It's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And she was like, no, you guys go ahead and enjoy your movie. Kind of like that. And that's where it started. And it just went downhill from there. And it got to a point where I was like, let me just get out of here, you know. And the dynamic when you have a best friend and you don't get along with their girlfriend or their significant other, that's a really shitty, crappy dynamic. It just sucks. I tell people that all the time. It just sucks when you don't get along with your best friend's girlfriend or whatever. So that's where it started. That was the issue with Craig. And Craig and I never had a falling out. It was just that she got so toxic that I just bowed out from, I'm like, look, have it. You know, I can't be around her. She's just too, I don't know what she's going through right now, but she's a little too toxic for me. So y'all have fun type thing. So it was nothing between Craig and I. But then I went to Saudi Arabia and I went back for another long stretch. When I came back, Craig was like a full-blown atheist. And looking back, he was working toward that for a while, but he just wasn't very vocal about it. Well, by the time I came back this last time, he was like full-blown atheist, mad atheist, confrontational atheist. And it was just too much for me. And I'm not so much religious. I'm more so spiritual. But I read my Bible every day, and I pray, and I have great faith, you know. And it's one thing if you want to be an atheist, okay, but don't tell me to F Jesus and you know, all this type of, I can't deal with all that. So when you added that whole aspect of Craig to the toxic girlfriend, I just kind of pulled away. So that was the thing with Craig, and it created this distance. And so that's to quickly catch you up with the thing with Craig. And so lately, the past couple of shows, I've been talking about friendships, and I always bring up Craig because Craig is like my best friend that sort of replaced that best friend dynamic that I used to have with John. And so a lot of people have been asking me, how are things going? Is it, you know, any change? And it's all good. We talked on a video chat this past weekend, and we had an opportunity to catch up. We were on the phone for like an hour talking and catching up. But it's good. Craig, he looks good. He's all fit now. He's lost about 25 pounds doing the alternate day fasting. You remember I told you about, he is the one that that recommended that I try that. And his arms are all like cut. His belly's gone. He has abs. His face is chiseled. He don't have that round face anymore. He meditates. I don't know if it's daily, but he meditates now. He sent me some pictures of his meditation room. He just seems more happier and more lighthearted. He's still an atheist, but he's not so angry about it and vocal, you know, like he was last time we spoke. And we're both doing better with keeping in touch. You know, we're doing better with that. We talked a little bit yesterday, and we text back and forth a little bit today. So we're meeting each other halfway. And, you know, we have some similar interests, again, that we can talk about and share. So things are a lot better between Craig and me, I'm happy to report. And, you know, that's all I can ask from my friends is, you know, to meet you halfway. That's all you can really ask of anyone. Like I said, I can't do the one-sided thing anymore. It's not fair to me. It's not fair to the other person. Like my friend Renata, I owe you a call, Renata. She's always the one reaching out, you know, with a phone call. I'm more of a text guy. I can be a little bit more reciprocal with the phone calls. I'll admit that, you know. So I'll be calling you, Renata. I'll be calling. The only reason why I haven't called you this week is because I know you're in Virginia, you're on, you know, vacation or what have you. But, yeah, I owe you a call. But make sure that you do right by your real friends. Okay, real friends are very hard to come by. So treat them like gold. All right. So listen, look, that's going to do it for this, you know, episode of Live with Dr. Andre Jerry and this part five of our random rants and real talk. I hope I said something tonight that resonated with you, you know, whether it was the dream, the interpretation, the meditation stuff, or just a reminder to value the discretion. Especially in your career, take that with you and let it marinate. You know, apply some of this stuff because we're all navigating different things. And, you know, like I said, sometimes it just takes one message or someone sharing something or, you know, they can have a moment of clarity and shift their whole perspective on things. So, again, that's why I do this show. So, as always, thank you so much for sharing your time and your energy with me tonight. If this show added value to your life, then pass it forward. Send it to someone. It'll be up on all the streaming platforms and YouTube very soon. Until next time, live boldly, speak truth, move in purpose. This has been Live with Dr. Andre Jerry. I'll see you guys next week, same time. And be well, stay grounded, and always, always protect your peace. All right, good night, everybody.